We're going to begin today in Chicago. Last night, a 19-year-old woman was killed and at least 8 others were injured in shootings throughout the city. Now, that was just Monday night. Those shootings came after the 4th of July weekend, during which more than 80 people were shot and at least 14 people were killed. While most of the violence took place between Chicago residents, there were 5 shootings where the police were involved, including one involving a 14-year-old boy who was shot and killed after allegedly pointing a weapon at a police officer. We wanted to hear more about how the city is responding to this violence. So we've called on Robert Wildebohr. He's the criminal and legal affairs reporter with member station WBEZ in Chicago. Rob, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Also joining us is Charlene Carruthers. She's national coordinator for the Black Youth Project 100. That's a Chicago-based group that works with young people to get them involved in addressing community issues that affect them, including violence and criminal justice. Charlene, welcome to you as well. Thank you for coming as well.
Thank you for having me.
Rob, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to get into the substance of what's happened and what people are saying about what to do about it, but I just wanted to start by asking you, what's the mood there? Does it feel like a crisis?
We get these weekends, unfortunately, more often than we'd like, right? And to be honest, to put it in perspective, we have half as many murders as we did in the 1990s. So while it often feels like it's never been worse than it is today, that's just not true. The perception out there is that it's more violent than it's ever been when you talk to people on the street, but that's just not the case. Nonetheless, I mean, when I was, you know, I've been covering criminal justice here for like 10 years now, and reading through the paper again, you know, it's something I've seen so many times, you know, 82 shot in the course of a weekend. And as someone who's, you know, participated in lots of conversations like this where we're trying to figure out, okay, what's the cause of this? And the numbers are down from last year. Good. Are they going to go down next year? It's just depressing to see those numbers again because it's dozens and dozens of young people driving around the city shooting at other young people. And it is mostly, you know, young people under the age of 35, young men. And it's just, it's hard to fathom, like, how do our young men think this is a good idea? And when faced with that kind of thing, it's like, what do you do?
Let's hear from Charlene here. Charlene, what about you? What are you, I'm asking, we can get into the, what a lot of Rob was talking about, what people are saying about what to do and so forth. I just want to ask right now, how are you doing? How are you doing? And how are the young people that you're working with, how are they doing?
I live in the Bonneville neighborhood on the south side of Chicago. I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago. And for us, whenever these numbers are reported, it's much bigger than just numbers. Like, there are people, there are families behind these numbers. There are people of all colors behind these numbers, but we know that our community, we have, being the Black community here in Chicago, it's very personal for us and we have a lot at stake. And when we think about the young people who are heavily involved in violence in our communities, we also have to really look at why. Like, what's the root cause of what's happening here? These are young people who don't have access to quality, consistent public education. These are also young people who don't have access to good jobs. And if it's not them, then folks in their families who don't also have access to good jobs. So the problem is it's much bigger. And for us, and for me and the people that I work with, it's another moment of this narrative about Black and brown people, this so-called destroying themselves and so-called destroying the city. And it really pushes a narrative that we don't necessarily know what to do. No. And that's not true.
Well, we'll talk about that. I mean, let me play a clip from Chicago Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy. And there was a press conference Monday morning, I believe it was, about the violence. And this is what he says about it.
Okay. It all comes down to these guns. There's too many guns coming in and too little punishment going out. Our officers would not be forced to use their weapons if the offenders were not armed with illegal weapons.
So he goes on to say he thinks there need to be stiffer gun laws and he thinks there need to be more aggressive prosecutions of crimes involving guns. Charlene, I take it you have an opinion about that, so I'll go to you first on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we do know is that there's a lot of profit in the trafficking of guns in the Chicagoland area, and that those who profit guns, who traffic guns, are not actually held accountable. So who's looking at the corporations and the individuals that profit from the trafficking of guns in the city, and who's also accounting for the guns that go missing from the Chicago Police Department? More punishment has never been the answer. What we do know, very factually, there was a study out of Northwestern University. What prevents gun violence? It's good jobs for people. folks who feel like they have a stake in their future and a stake, a secure future and access to supporting themselves and their families. Mm-hmm. What the officer said is really grounded in it's not new, but it's something, it's been done over and over again, and it's not working. And we know if you continue to do something, we punish, it hasn't changed a thing. We have some of the highest incarceration rates in the world, and specifically in the Chicagoland area, the concentration of it. And crime it's not reduced from incarcerating or punishing more people. I take it personally what the police officer
you do.
Said, and I know that that's not going to change things.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the gun violence that took place in Chicago over the 4th of July weekend and actually continued through Monday. 82 people shot over the weekend, 14 fatally. There were yet more people shot since Monday evening, one fatally. My guests are Charlene Carruthers. That's who was speaking just now. She's a community activist who works with young people. Also with us, Robert Wildebor. He's a reporter with member station WBEZ who covers crime and criminal justice issues. So, Rob, dig into this for me, if you would. The Chicago Sun-Times, as you know, has a web-based publication that seeks to document every single homicide in the city year by year. And as Charlene said, make sure that people know that these are people and pictures of each of them. But the department says that gun-related homicides are down this year compared with numbers at the same time, but that the overall number of shooting incidents has increased. So, Rob, do you just want to amplify that for a couple of minutes? And how should we look at these numbers?
Well, the way that the Chicago Police Department is counting these is shooting incidents, because they say, you can count homicides, but a more accurate indicator of where the crime is at is shooting incidents. If you have a shooting incident but no homicide victim, maybe it's because the bullet was 2 inches over and missed an artery or an organ or something like that. So they're counting the shootings. We're actually up in shootings compared to last year. We're down in homicides compared to last year. And in terms of the homicide numbers, again, we were lower last year than we have been in four decades. As far as kind of the city's take on this and what the police superintendent said there in the clip you played, he says, you know, it all comes down to these gun laws and these gun trafficking. And we know that's just not true. I mean, if that was true, we wouldn't be engaged in all these policing efforts, right? And if you to Charlene's point, you know, as to whether, you know, this is about jobs and violence, she said, you know, access to jobs is important for reducing violence. And I think that's probably true, and we all think it's good for people to have good jobs, right? And none of us like the issues of poverty. Nonetheless, if you look at New York City, there's all sorts of poverty there. There's all sorts of dysfunction, and yet they've been able to bring their homicide numbers down 80%, more than 80% since the early 90s. And the criminologists and researchers that I've talked to have said this is about policing. And so they were able to bring down homicides without addressing these larger factors that are important and we want to address, but they were able to bring down homicides without, you know, giving everyone a job, just in terms of policing and particularly focusing police resources in high crime areas.
In a written statement, Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel said the number of shootings and murders that took place over the holiday weekend is simply unacceptable and points out that we still have work to do. The solution does not just include policing. We also have to give our young people alternative to the street. So, Charlene, we have a couple of minutes left. Tell us, what is the mayor saying, anything that seems to resonate with the young people that you work with? And are there any, I guess, activities going on that seem to resonate with you?
So I'm a firm believer that rhetoric has to turn into action, and the actions that you engage in speak much louder than the words that you say. And of course, as Robert mentioned, jobs are one part of the equation in getting at these systemic issues. As we all very well know, over 50 public schools were closed in Chicago under the mayor's leadership. And of course, not just the mayor, but also the leadership of aldermen in the city as well. And those factors of young people seeing that their education isn't valued, seeing that they have limited opportunities beyond high school, which is, of course, a bigger issue than just what the mayor of the city of Chicago does. But all of these things, they're all interrelated.
Let me ask you about what Rob said, though. What about what he said, that there are other cities that have similar challenges and are not experiencing this right now? Why do you think this happened this weekend the way it did? Why do you think this happened?
So I think that it's a combination of the long-held segregation policies in Chicago, our housing policies, displacement of people, the closing of our schools, and overall feeling that folks' individual lives are not valued by those who we pay and those who we elect to represent us in office. And it's not this weekend, as Robert mentioned, this weekend has things like this have happened before. So it's not necessarily something brand new. Actually, it's not brand new at all.
Okay.
And just because it happens in other cities, like, I'm primarily concerned with what's happening here in Chicago and what we're doing about it to address the structural problems that exist and not exacerbating them by creating more a larger carceral state and more punishment for people when we know that that hasn't worked in Chicago. And if I could say one thing more
about New York City. Very briefly, if you would. Yeah.
One more thing about New York City. I've also lived in New York City. And we can't glance over the fact that how stop and frisk policies play into policing in New York City, and also other improvements that have been made in the city. So those things don't live in silos. And even in Chicago, we have our own form of stop and frisk when they come.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there for now. Sorry, Charlene. Thanks. Time is the one thing they're not making more of. We appreciate it. Charlene Carruthers is the national coordinator for Chicago's Black Youth Project 100. She was with us by phone from Chicago, along with Robert Wilde, who's the criminal and legal affairs reporter for WBEZ. Thank you both so much for speaking with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.